Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions where, you know, most people are incarcerated in their thinking. Well, we're here to challenge your thinking and set you free. Come on. So, you're here with yours truly, Pastor Juan, aka Dr. Love, and in the studio with me, I have
Pastor Megan.
And Pastor Ernesto, a.k.a. Truth Teller.
Truth
what it do?
Teller. What's going on? So,
how you doing, man?
Today we got a really special show. I'm excited about it. You know, I think the last one I was really excited about it. I've still been talking to people about kind of how to shut off the noise. You know, so if you haven't caught it, go check it out. I know a lot of people are listening to us that are incarcerated. But there's a lot of people, you have a lot of families out there. So tell them to go check out This Is Real on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit the link, subscribe, share it with somebody. And, you know, because I think we've hit like 9 million out there. Wouldn't it be cool to also hit 9 million out here, family members?
Amen.
Send all your family to our YouTube channel here. And I think it'll be a really good thing because everybody will be consistently growing as a family, right? Come like on. It's not just the husband getting it there at the Pando app. There'll also be people out here getting it on YouTube.
They
so
make
stuff. Sure you share this. So today, this is what we're going to talk about. So comparison is a thief. And so my question for you guys is, have you ever been a victim
absolutely
of the comparison thief, right? We know we got social media, a whole lot of jealousy out there, people trying to find their riding everybody else's lane rather than finding their own lane. So we have a scripture. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to mention four things, and then we'll open it up. All right. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Galatians 6, 4 and 5. I'm going to read it I found it this morning in NIV, even though I was looking at it at the CSB, but whatever translation you like. So I'm going to read it in this one. It says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. And that's just, we're going to dive into this all over the place. And we got a few other scriptures, but Paul here is addressing the importance of personal responsibility, because when it talks about, he's not confusing himself when he talks about carrying other people's burdens or helping other people with burdens. He's, you know, and then he's like, here, carry your own load. He's pretty much saying, yo, you help somebody else, but there's a personal responsibility you have to carrying your own stuff. Like, I can't read the Bible for you, and I can't pray for you. You know, I could pray for you, but I can't pray for you, if you get what I'm saying. So he's teaching the responsibility and humility. He encourages believers to, I say humility, focus on their walk with Christ to help restore other people gently, which you see in verse 1, and to carry one another's burdens, but also carrying their own load. In other words, being responsible for their own calling, gifts, and journey, right? For their own things. So Paul is warning us of comparison because it distracts us from what God has called us to do. Okay. I want to hear you guys. Have you guys ever been a victim of comparing? Like, have you ever dealt with that? Talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for sure, in my life, I've definitely compared myself to other people, whether it's through social media, wishing that you were someplace that you're not, because God has given each and every one of us a gift and a calling on our life.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think what happens is we get so busy chasing that and things that God never intended for us because it looks good, or maybe because it perceives something that it's really not, but it wasn't even for us in the first place.
Yeah.
And I've had moments in my life where I compare myself to people that I feel are at a level of a pinnacle of leadership, or a pinnacle of preaching, or a pinnacle of business. And I find myself going, well, I know that I have a calling on my life. How can I get there? Why am I not there yet? How did they get there? What am I doing that they're not? Or
what are they doing that? Yeah.
Or allowing the enemy and believing the lie that from my past, it's stopping me from going where God's wanted me to go.
Really?
But in reality, I'm exactly where he wants me to be, and he's going to take me where he wants me to go. And me comparing myself to anybody else is just quenching that, and I'm not going to be able to move forward.
Wow. How about you?
Man, I feel like I've been a victim of comparison all my life. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Tell it.
I feel like even prior to social media, like, you know, growing up in the street, growing up in my household, I compared myself, and I feel like for me it came from a lack of certainty and confidence in who I was, mm-hmm. and even wanting, like, kind of like what Pastor Megan was saying, like wanting what others had or feeling like that person was accepted and loved. So now I'm comparing my life to their life. So now I'm shifting how I live or shifting what I do and shifting values, shifting the way I talk, like, you know, just to be loved and accepted by the people that I want to be loved and accepted by. You know what I mean? And even comparing, man, like this comparison thing goes deep, because totally. I can compare people in my life. My mom's not like his mom, or my wife's not like my mom. You know what I mean? Like, so comparison can really steal so much of, like, your walk and your life and your focus on the things that God has given you, and even maturing and even growing and even being a good steward of what you have is affected by us comparing our life and everything that we have with other things.
That's funny, because I had put down like three things it steals, and you just mentioned them all, right? Yeah. So comparison steals your joy, mm-hmm. because instead of being grateful, you become resentful, right? James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice." It blinds you of your own blessings, right? Because you get so busy scrolling other people's highlights, you miss what you have. You know, I think me and you had a conversation not long ago, mm-hmm. where for some reason, you know, I always tell people, when you read a verse, it's because you do the opposite and it's trying to get you to always align with what God says, right? So it says, think about these things that are pure, honorable, and true. It's because you you usually think negative. So I was, it's okay if I kind of, so her and I were having a conversation not long ago where she was sharing with me some of the things she was going through. And I, and valid. Because she was going through some things. It was totally valid. Like, the things she was going through were 100%, like, you could be like, yeah, I get it. But my I didn't want her to dig a deep hole there. So I was like, I had asked her, I said, yeah, I get you're going through these things. I said, but have you stopped to think, like, what has happened? Because I also know all these great things that have happened in her life.
Yeah.
I go from, like, November to January. Just in those months, I want you to think about everything that God has done for you.
Amen.
And so we are so quick, like, let's say God does 10 things and there's like three things and they're difficult, and rightly so, we will think about those things over and over again, because the enemy's like, what about this, what about this, what about, and since we're not putting our mind to think of, like, what God has done for us, just past what he's done, just salvation alone, you just sit a salvation alone, you have a lot to think about. Right. And I think at that point, you know, it steals your joy, it blinds your own blessings, and it blocks your purpose. You start thinking something's missing, which is what he actually said to Adam and Eve, right? Like, they already had it all.
Yep.
And all he did to them was, think about it. He said, hey, if you had this.
Yeah.
And that's, he still does that today.
Yeah.
He tries to point out, to make you think you're lacking something, or you're not enough, or something's not enough,
so that you could
pretty much go after whatever he's trying to point at.
Yeah. What does it say? It says there's two things that are never satisfied: the fire,
lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes.
Mm-hmm. So that's how he gets us to compare. Like, this is not good enough. That is.
Yeah.
You start comparing what you have to something else, and.
Absolutely. What were you going to say?
And if we're honest, it's rooted in insecurities.
Amen.
And not really understanding our identity. Because if we don't fully understand our identity and come in agreement with who God has created us to be, and the best, being the best us that he has created to be unapologetically, and walking in that, we're always going to be comparing ourselves to other people. And I remember last year, and you remember this, there was somebody, and as a woman, I haven't gotten very insecure often. But when I do, it cuts deep. Like, it's deep.
Yeah.
And I remember that there was somebody in my life, and they would just always rub me the wrong way. And I'm like, how are they always are they always so happy and joyful and bubbly? And it cut me to the core. And I remember every single time I was around this person, it was like it would just eat at me, and it would just irritate me to the core. And I'm like, what is wrong? And I remember one day I realized what it was. It was an insecurity that I had. Because if I was honest, I was comparing myself to this individual, their professionalism, how they did things, their organization. And if I was honest, they were more mature than me in that area of development.
It's good stuff.
And because they had already overcome the things that I'm still working through, when I looked at this person, I became jealous, but I wanted to think it was their problem. And in reality, I was jealous. I had low self-esteem and an insecurity that this person was pulling out in me. And because I was never around somebody, I felt at that level, this person was placed in my life to show me what true humility was and to be able to walk in that.
It's crazy how, like, the Bible, like, everything she said is what you just read, right? He says in Galatians, each one should test their own actions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that off the muscle shows you where your heart and what you're living from.
Yeah.
And when you test your own actions, it's kind of hard to compare because you're really digging into out of the issues, out of the abundance of the heart flow, the issues of life, right?
Yeah.
So out of the abundance mm-hmm. of your heart, your actions take place. So if you're really looking at how you're living, you can tell, hey, I'm comparing myself, or I'm not even acknowledging what God has done in my life, or I'm not even acknowledging why I don't have joy, or yeah. why I'm not here, or why I'm not there, because we're so busy looking at other people's plate. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, listen. Go ahead.
You can't partake of the things that God has for you on your plate if you're busy looking at everybody else's plate.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit there and focus on your relationship with Jesus and your growth and your blessings and your struggle and your process if I'm comparing myself to other people's stuff, and you don't get nowhere like that.
Listen, in John 21:21-22, Peter asks about John's future, and you know what Jesus tells him? He asks Jesus about John's future, and Jesus tells him, "What is that to you? You must follow me." So think about it. You're like, "Hey, what are you gonna do with him?" He's like, "What is that to you? Like, why are you worried about them so much?" You know, I used to Philip Baker, you know, which I think he's coming to get rap soon, but long time ago, he talked about dogs in the racetrack, you know. And so I learned a lot from that.
I remember you dog saying
in the racetrack, yeah. And so, you know, when you think of dogs in the racetrack, they usually have a rabbit, and they're all chasing that rabbit. They're all behind the gate, and they're all just thinking the rabbit. When the gates come up, they start running after the rabbit, and they will exhaust themselves running after the rabbit. Now, the problem is, if you remove the rabbit, right, then what would happen is the gates would come up and they wouldn't be chasing anything. They probably start sniffing each other's, you know what, right? They start sniffing each other's blessed assurance. And so so what happens is that in life, a lot of times when people don't have vision or they don't feel like they have purpose, the reality is that when you're constantly looking at somebody else or like in their business, it's because you don't really have life yourself. I don't understand. Yeah. Usually when I'm dialoguing, let's say the topic at hand is a person or an individual, like I don't know. My life's so busy that I don't really have time to do like all these little, I don't understand how people could be on social media in the comments all day long. Like I never understood that. But again, it's because I've purpose in my life, there's vision in my life, there's task at hand, right? Like, if I'm doing that, then I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it was like she was saying, it's a lack of identity.
Totally. Yeah, insecurities.
Don't know who you belong to,
facts. Yeah. So, just got back from Honduras,
right?
We did a crusade over there, just tons of people. Like, soccer stadium, just full of people. It was just a lot of people. We prayed. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. But I want to share this. I shared it last night in the Hangout. But I feel like this goes with it, right? So they're like, what'd you get the most out of over there? You know, and like, obviously everything's great, but the hunger of those people were great. Mm. But then I had a block. I think we had Saturday morning off because every other day was like 8 a.m. eat. Then we're doing Night Out with Jesus, but all day.
That's dope.
And we're hitting the streets all day, eating lunch till like 5 o'clock, then doing it again, then pretty much setting up, you know, meeting with the pastor. So it was like constant ministry every day. So it was like, they asked us, you didn't go to the beach? I'm like, no, we had a block. We had a block of time and we didn't go there for that. You know, there's a time for that. And there's a time we were there on assignment. And so we got to pour into 75 pastors. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was like a blessing. But the block of time we had, we all went to this, like where you see birds, because in Honduras, like the parrot is like what an eagle is to the United States, right? Yeah. The macaw. So you see the wings pretty much painted everywhere. It's like a big deal. And so we went to this thing, and I got such a revelation from the bird park, right? My wife's like, ugh. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at this stuff, and I go there, and their goal is pretty much, like, let's say there's this large bird sanctuary, but there's these big cages everywhere, and then there's, like, this place where they have, like, incubators and all that, and then there's, like, just gorgeous. It's beautiful. The goal is to help these birds be free. Okay, I need you to hear. I need you to hear what I'm saying, okay? Mm-hmm. These birds to be free. So what happens is that every cage, there's cage over here with some birds, cage over here with some birds, cage, and then there's these purposeful cages. Now, the interesting part is that all the cages look the same and all the birds are the same. Now, if one bird was to look at the other cage and get upset about what God was doing in their life, they'd be wrong, because each cage had a purpose. This cage, they're learning how to fly. This cage, they're right? From the very beginning, there's a
process.
Literally, you see a little macaw and you see a person feeding them. Literally, through the window. They're feeding this bird. Mm-hmm. This bird can hardly move, right? Same kind of bird, just a newborn.
Yeah, that'll preach.
This other bird is trying to stand.
Yeah.
Right? And so even at this level, they can't look at each other because they're all at different levels. They're trying to get it to a place where it can eat by itself. But once they hit the cage, the final cage, you know, through all the purpose, because for us in the kingdom, when you thought you were free, you were actually in a cage. Mm-hmm. But in the kingdom, when you're, it seems like you're in a cage because you're having to do this other stuff that's actually setting you free. And each one of those cages was actually setting them free. And I can't look at your cage because you may be on the flying stage and I might be just learning how to hang out with other birds.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to know that in our lives is exactly the same thing, right? You can't look, because you don't know the process that God's taken me through and where I'm at spiritually, right? I might be 50 spiritually and this person might be 30.
Yeah.
And you've heard me say this from the pulpit. If you're eight, be eight.
Yeah.
Like you're robbing yourself of growth. Imagine one of those birds skip a cage. They would never be free, right? Because if they didn't know how to eat, they'd die up there, right? Now you're going to go out there. You don't know how to go to the food by yourself. You don't know how to go to word by yourself. So it's okay if you have to sit under and learn and grow. Because if you skip some of those steps, it's only going to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think this is important.
I think that what you're, like, I'm just listening to you, and I hear what we're just saying about the lust of the flesh. It's like there's this little I don't know if it's a meme or a gif, and it shows like the guy's walking, and then it shows a guy on a bike, and he says, "Man, if I had a bike," and then the guy on the bike is looking at the car, "Man, if I had a car," and the guy in the car is looking at, "Man, if I had." So no matter what accomplishment you have, you're always looking and comparing yourself to the next accomplishment, as opposed to focusing on what you have. Yes. And like what you say, bettering that, because God's doing something in that place and in that stage. And if I'm focusing in the next thing, then I'm not focusing on what I have right now and growing properly or going through what I need to be going through. And I believe that God's grace, because he wants you to learn for his glory, you'll fall and be there again.
All day long.
Until you're like, and he's like, okay, you're not going to let me be God in this area? Fall. You know what I'm saying? Like,
all day long.
Do your thing.
Well, you don't really even have the tools to sustain it.
Come on.
So all of those things build character.
Yeah.
When you're trying to skip, let me tell you something. You know, you ever seen a grown man, you're still like, you're still acting like a kid? That's because there was an area of your life. You know, they say that whatever age you started drinking and smoking is where you stop growing. Yeah. You kind of stop because you didn't have to communicate. You just went to weed, or you went to drinking, or you went to sex. So rather than communicating, you went to something that numbed the pain. And so then all of a sudden when you sober up, you're really learning how to communicate. It's like reading levels. You know, you're like at a sixth grade communication level or whatever, seventh grade. It's not a bad thing. It's just that now you got to learn how to actually communicate because your feelings are all over the place, right? I mean, you do that with Change Group all day long, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I wanted to say, too, that eventually every measuring stick is always going to get stuck. And the enemy's number one tool is for us to use a measuring stick every day in our lives.
Yeah.
To evaluate where we are in comparison to where other people are. And when you were talking, it reminded me of Moses when he went to the burning bush. And God told him, "I want you to go before Pharaoh and set my people free."
Yeah.
But Moses basically kind of argued with God because of his insecurity.
Yeah, totally.
And because he couldn't speak eloquently or fluently. So then he brought someone alongside. And that's where part two is, community is important. Because even though God said, I will give you the words to say and I will speak for you, even then Moses still shied away and wasn't confident. Yeah. Even though God himself said, I will speak for you. And even though we don't want to compare ourselves to other people, that insecurity held him back. It still was done, but God used someone else to come alongside, link arms.
Yeah.
And I think that's also important to know that people can inspire us.
Yeah.
We can be motivated by other people, by the fruit in their life.
Yeah.
But we have to be very careful to not allow it to become an idol of comparison, to hold us back from the calling that God has in our life for what he has us for, but that we can learn from other people, from their growth, and to be like, wow, look at where they are. That's amazing. Look what God did in their life.
Totally.
I know God can do that in my life.
Yeah.
But there's a healthy rhythm to that, that you have to know what's healthy and what's not.
All day long.
That's where the testing of your own actions.
Yeah, because
you're testing the posture of your heart.
Yeah.
In the midst of like, hey, instead of comparing from an unhealthy place, you're comparing from a healthy place in the sense of like growth towards Jesus or relationship or.
Yeah, because that's our only standard, right? It's Jesus. Yeah. I think 2 Corinthians 10:12, which you really enjoyed, you said when you were reading it, but in measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves to themselves, they lack understanding, which is what you're saying, right? They were measuring themselves among themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul calls it out. He's like, yo, you're measuring yourself by yourself. And so that leads to pride and insecurity, but never leads to wisdom because you're measuring yourself by yourself.
There's no standard of truth.
There's no standard of truth.
An unstable standard.
Absolute truth at that.
Yeah, facts. Come on.
You know, Psalms 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you read that, what do you think about when you hear that?
I am fearfully and wonderfully made?
Yeah, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When it comes to the theme that we're talking about, comparison or comparison. You know,
I hear like God's sovereignty in our life.
Yes.
Who he created me to be.
Yes.
Like I can be fearless even in my flaws.
Yes.
Even in my mistakes, even in my shortcomings, I can be fearless in the fact that he created me this way.
Yes.
And him being sovereign and him being God and him being king shows me like, hey, this has purpose.
All day long.
This has meaning. This has, this can be used for his glory, so I can praise him and be allow him to be glorified in that.
Yeah. What about you, Megan? What do you hear when you hear that?
I hear the, you know, just not being fearful and walking in everything that he has.
Yeah.
Even when we can't see it, even when we don't understand it, when we are comparing ourselves to the person to the right or to the left, or even just looking at my past, being like, man, if I just would have listened, if I just would have listened 5 years ago, would I be further? Would I be where I think I should be? Or where is that even?
Yeah.
Where is that? Or was that coming from a place of pain that was from an unhealed girl that at that time I think it was God, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was my own selfish desires, but it had nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
And so just really walking in that fearlessness of knowing that the only thing that I want to compare myself to is the word of God as a reflection of a mirror in my life. But then to the few people that I have around me that I can look to and say they are an example that I want to live by and walk in the footsteps of humility, honor, grace, and just character.
That's good. Yeah, you know, because God intentionally designed each and every one of us, right? Like they were all these birds. And like, imagine if one of these birds tried to be this bird. Yeah. You know, some of them were little, some of them were big.
That's what we do.
And so, all day long.
Like, I want to be littler.
And we read these verses and we know this, but yet sometimes we try to be something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
We think we're an accident. God uses everything in it. In God's sovereignty, if he's trying to get you to Dallas, but you decided to go the opposite way, he'll let you go to the opposite way. But somehow, if his plan is to get you to Dallas, obviously you have choice in the matter.
Yeah.
But he will get you there.
Yeah.
He will just, you know, because he's that, he loves everybody. You know, you're not a copy. You know, we're not made copy. And for me, you know, I think in the beginning I was a victim of it because I didn't really know the Christian world. So I wanted to be, you know, I'm like, well, I guess you're listening to all these people preaching and you're like, well, am I this? Am I that? You know, maybe I don't want to reach this, that God, I don't want this mission, God. I want to do this mission because I could be more financially stable on this side, you know, or I could do this or demographically or how people plant churches or whatever. Like, for me, there came a time in my life where I had to make a decision to be okay. I think you told me this one time. I forgot what it was, how you worded it, but it was like, man, you just dress how you want to or whatever. And so for me, I'm okay. Yeah. I had to be okay with Juan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to be okay with my preaching style, right? Because you're always going to get people that almost force comparison on you, yeah. right? Because they're like, well, you should sound like this. Yeah. You should. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the voice of the crowd is so loud that you start listening a little. Well, maybe I need to change this. Maybe I need to sound deeper, or I need to, you know, what I've learned is
that's
that
fire, bro.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So they push this upon you, and the pressure's so heavy because then they're like, well, you're not Christian enough if you're not doing deliverance this way, if it doesn't look like that,
it creates
this way.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, now you better be really secure in the Lord
and rooted.
And
that's
rooted.
What really honestly attracted me to you in the beginning was that when I first met you.
Yeah.
I was like, man, like, you don't care. Like, he is who he is in Christ, and he's confident of that. But and that really reveals relationship.
Yeah.
Because you can only arrive there with a healthy relationship in Jesus.
Facts.
Because he's consistently telling you, no, this is who I am, who you are, who you are, who you are, who you are.
Yeah.
And then if you live according to my will, this is what you, it's like what you said, you'll end up in Dallas because you're consistently aligning yourself to his will.
Yeah. You got to be okay. If somebody truly has the love of God, they're going to be for you.
Yeah.
And they're going to be okay. Because here's the funny part. And so I've used this in marriage terminology, but when I'm secure, so there was a season where I wanted Ruthie to be me.
Yeah.
Right? In the very, very beginning. And so we read these verses, and sometimes, if we're going to be honest, you want those around you, you know, you might not say this, but you act that way sometimes, right? Because if you could change this and this and this about you, I might like you more, right? And we're not talking like sin stuff. We're talking personality, character. Yeah. You know, just maybe they move fast, and then maybe you move slow, right? So I'm gonna use me as an example, but you know, my wife, I wanted her like, hey, you know, in the very beginning, I'm like, you need to pick up. I was trying to make her an evangelist. I was trying to make you need to do all this stuff because I do this stuff. So you need to do this stuff because if we don't do this stuff's not gonna work. So I'm trying to get her in my lane. And my poor wife, you know, one day there was a guy. Shout out to Mike Lanier. He was like us. He was the one going into the prison. And I kept his number, and I called him two times. I just called him recently just to see how he was doing.
Yeah.
But I called him when I got out because he gave me his number. And when I got out, I was at the Greyhound bus station, and everybody was smoking. And I didn't know what to do. So the first thing I did, remember, accountability's important. I just pick up the phone. I go, look, I mean, this might sound small, but I'm at the Greyhound bus station. Everybody's smoking. I'm real nervous right now that I'm going to buy a pack of, like, and so he's like, I'm coming to see you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he literally went there, took me to Taco Bell, and got me to my next destination. And that's, you know, how it all started. Right. And so one day I'm calling him, and I started doing a little ministry, and I'm driving through, and I go, hey, I'm driving through. So we go to his house. This guy's really prophetic. Doesn't want nobody to be like, wow, just regular guy, really prophetic. And so he sits us down, and he looks at me, and he says, I mean, random. The guy don't have social media. He doesn't have anything, okay? I just got out, so I didn't really have, you know, it was a little bit after, maybe like a year. And he goes, are you trying to make her you? I mean, you get what I'm saying? Like, oh, no, all day long. I'm like, I break. The way I'm breaking a little now, I just break. Because he goes, are you trying to make her you? And I just start breaking, and I know it's the Lord speaking.
Yeah.
And then I go, you know, all she does go to the radio, and she has a job, and you make her go to the radio with you every Saturday, and you make her, you do all that. She goes, of course she's going to go. She loves you. She's your rib. She's protecting your heart. She starts really going after me, right? And I'm just crying, right? Because I'm like, I'm like, dang. It was very new to me, so I didn't really understand. I thought I was doing a good thing, right? So some of y'all might think you're doing a good thing, but you're actually hurting the other person. And so he goes, I go, but she wants to be there, right? And I look at Ruthie, and she goes, she starts tearing up, and she's like, she was so tired. She had a full-time job.
Yeah.
She had, you know, she's blessing me by going to school and me doing ministry, but she's working and taking your job, like doing a lot.
She's being her and you.
She's And so and so it changed my life. And I'm here to say today that a lot of times, let's say I changed some of the things about Ernesto, right? So I learned this later, even in a deeper way. If I change some of the things of Ernesto or some of the things of Megan, or you try to change some of the things of Ace, or you will change the person that God made him to be. So God made him a certain way. Like for some of us, we're like, oh, I can't, sometimes I lose focus. Okay, but that might make us really creative.
Yeah.
So if I remove that, so the my wife is the opposite of me.
Yeah.
So she's not like me, but she's not as creative, even though she has creative power because God lives in her.
Yeah.
But not like me. But it is because she's on a more, right?
Yeah.
So if I remove that, then she wouldn't be the woman that I married and I love that balances me out.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
So a lot of times we're trying to not just compare, but you're forcing yourself on someone else to be something that you want them to be so you could like them, that God's like, no, I made them like that.
You think it's safe to say that that stems from insecurities?
Facts that stem from insecurity. Yeah, right. Yeah, but also you think you're all that, right? Like pride. You think my life is amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, the example. You need to be like me.
Right? Yeah. The best thing that happened in my marriage was when I gave Ruthie to God and I let Ruthie be Ruthie. That's the best can say. The best thing that ever happened to me in my life.
And I would say, too, if people have the question, how do you know that? How do you know when you're at a crossroads where you're trying to either be something that you're not, or you have that measuring stick of comparison and you're fighting up against that? Because spiritual maturity is when you're in a place that you begin to understand where's grace. So if you're trying to do something, trying to open doors that are not for you to walk through, trying to be something that you're not called to be or at that level, and you feel like there's always a resistance, and you feel like the grace has been lifted, or there is not a grace, or there isn't an ability to be able to do it effortlessly, because you're going to have moments that are going to be difficult. We're going to have moments that are going to be challenging.
Yeah.
But when you're walking in your calling and your God-given gift, you're not going to feel exhausted every day. You're not going to get the, oh my God, I have to do this.
Yeah.
You're going to have the attitude of, wow, because God's grace is on whatever it is that you're doing. Facts. To the point where God gets the glory, because when people see it, they have no choice but to say they can only do that by God's grace and by his anointing.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to do it in your own strength and you're comparing to other people, you have to take a step back and be like, am I even doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I don't know. I'm big on like the church, and I keep growing in, you know, as I continue to read scripture. And, you know, sometimes it saddens me, man. I could tell people who are not rooted in the word, because their social media, it's almost like people are so insecure on who they are in Christ. And the truth is, most probably aren't reading their Bibles.
Facts.
They're just getting a little bit from like reels or like some of their favorite people. So Sunday. They're missing out on really who they are, because they want to be this guy or this guy. And so they're just repeating certain things. So at that point, they're probably not even living it out, but they have maybe a lot of charisma or a good gift from God. But it's easy for me to tell, because when you're constantly like, you know, church should be out of the building and And I'm not saying that there's not a space to have those kind of conversations. But if I'm bashing your burger so that I look like I have the best burger, that's an issue. Because realistically, let's say you're like, well, the church isn't doing an event, the church this, the church that. You're actually talking about Jesus's bride that actually you're a part of.
Yeah.
So you're really talking about you, even though you think you're not talking about you, if you really believe that we're the body.
Yeah.
Right? Even it's like that's me going, insecurity. My foot sucks.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I think that's where the misconception or the distortion comes into view, is that you're speaking from the place of what you, how you see.
Oh yeah.
When you might be like a foot, and all the person you're talking about is an arm or a hand or a finger, and they're functioning the way they know how to function in God's will, with God's anointing, in purpose, and you, because you don't understand it, are like, nah, they like that's all jacked up.
Dude, it's like social media is great, but people off of a clip, or you hear people say, you know, I've heard them all. Well, maybe not all, because obviously there's probably a lot more, but nothing new is under the sun.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're like, well, you know, services need to be 4 hours long. Yeah, because you have one service. And yeah. You're like, you're not in the predicament of this guy who has a smaller building or maybe multiple services. And they're trying to do their best. So if you know the heart of the person that's actually doing it, in some case there might be some stuff. But the reality is that everybody's doing what they can.
Yeah.
Right? And unless you actually sit, then you're... Sometimes it's the insecurity. I guess it's all insecurity, right? Yeah. Where you're comparing them to them. Well, this should look like that. The way I do deliverance and the way John Ramirez, I'm about to go to California and, you know, we're doing an event there and then we're doing one here at Get Wrapped. And the reality is that how he does deliverance and how I do deliverance,
different.
Polar, not even close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still deliverance.
It's still deliverance.
That's one of my prayers too, that I pray consistently, because I think sometimes it's our nature to do that. And I pray, I ask God, like, Lord, do not allow me to dismiss something or disqualify something or not perceive something that's of you like it's not of you just because I don't understand it.
All day long.
Because I don't receive it. I learned that in Alaska.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to Alaska?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lot of Indians?
Yeah.
Like, there were actually Native Indians there, and we were doing the worship on the field.
Yeah.
And I was standing on the field worshiping, and there, and like, probably 5 feet in front of me were, like, actual Indians worshiping. Mm-hmm. But they were worshiping, like, you know, with their clothes
Their
instruments. And,
yeah.
And they started, and I looked at them, and I was like, what the heck are they? What's wrong with them? Mm-hmm. Bro, and instantly, like, it hit me so hard that I cried. The Lord was like, how dare you? Like, they're my children.
Yeah.
Like, they worship in me how they know how to worship in me. Yeah. How dare you disqualify them because they don't worship like you?
Yeah.
Bro, it broke me, because I was like, man, I'm tripping because they don't look like me or worship like me or talk like me.
You just made yourself the standard.
Yeah, I just made myself a Pharisee.
Yeah,
a Pharisee. Like, for real. Like,
yes.
They don't belong here. Nah, like, you're tripping. God is miraculous and out of the box, so... We never know how he's moving when he's moving, but we know he's moving because we know his character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. We just got to do better. We got to do better. The only way to do better is for you to do your part and try to be that light and to walk out, you know, that relationship you have
to
with God.
To test your own actions.
I don't know. Facts.
Hey, that first line on Galatians 6 is just fire.
What's the first line? Oh,
each one should test their own actions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's it's basically like the verse that says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, meaning like you looking within, look at your heart, look at your heart posture, look how you perceive, look at how the build up of you, and analyze yourself and measure it to Christ, because that's when you know, hey, I'm really living according to God.
Yeah. Facts.
Because if you're not, then he'll show you. That's not my character, bro. That's not how I see. That's not how I think. That's not how I feel about people. Change that.
Yeah.
But you can't do that if you're not perceiving or testing your own actions.
Yeah, fruit is always the evidence.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. And I have written down here that our goal should be to help maximize other people's gifts, not be jealous or compare ourselves to them.
It's really good.
And it's what Pastor Vinny was preaching on Sunday when he had the whole row. And he said, if you had to walk through every single one of these aisles and not touch a single thing, what is your goal? And he's like, you can't, because there's obstacles in the way. But what we should be doing as a body of Christ is being able to clear the way, clear the path, come alongside each other and help each other, so that every one of us can get and walk in our full God-given calling together.
Come on.
That'd be freedom.
That would be. If we all had that mindset of like, hey, I'm going to put myself to the side and not be selfish, even though I see that you have what I want.
Yeah.
Let me help you get there.
Yeah.
Let me help you develop that. Let me help pour into you what I want. And then if we were all doing that, man, it would be amazing.
Well, God's kingdom will be glorified, not ours.
Yeah.
All day long. And then there's the aspect of, you know, because I've been talking about this probably for years, of like preaching a message, you know, spiritual teenager, you know, because I feel like...
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.